We're going to look at a kind of unusual parish from Shadal today. Yeah. Okay, we're in Parshas Vayechi, Parak 9, Pasuk Yutet, 19. So the brothers are scared. We mentioned this other times throughout in the week. Yaakov has now passed away. They've done the mourning period. Now they think that Yosef is finally going to take vengeance against them. So they come to him. They come to him and say, our father told us, and seemingly lie, and say, our father told us to tell you to forgive us, to be, what's this language? This is in Yud Zayin, Kotom Ruli Yosef. He said to us, say this to Yosef, Ana sana pesha achecha, forgive your brothers for their sins, v'chatatam, and their iniquities. Right? There's so many like languages of now, please forgive them. And it says that Yosef cried. Okay? And then the brothers fall on their faces. This is Vayiplu lefanav, Vayomru, Hinenu lechal avadim. Here's a stark image of them bowing down to him and saying, we are your servants. So Yosef has a choice here. What would you expect in the next passage?
He forgives them.
He forgives them. Except he doesn't. What's funny is that he says, there's no reason for me to forgive you because you didn't do anything wrong. Kind of. In Yutet, it says, "V'yomer aleihem Yosef, al tirau ki atachat Elokim ani." Don't be afraid, for am I instead of God? Meaning, sounds like, God is the one who forgives you, not me. So, in the continuation of what Yosef says, he says, "Chaf." This is in Pasuk Chaf. "V'atem chashavtem alai ra'a." You thought to do bad to me. Elokim chashava l'tova. But God thought of it for good, meaning figured out how it could be good for me. Laman aso kayom hazeh l'achayot amrav, in order to make sure that I could make a lot of people, keep a lot of people alive. Meaning, you sought to do bad to me, but God used that very bad thing into a very good thing. So, Shadal, you would expect it would be more into, I don't know, trying to figure out some of the language here, something we've seen a lot of those kind of comments. Here he goes into somewhat of a theological discussion about what this means on a theological level. So let's see. So he said, am I instead of God? So what does that mean? So Shadal says that Yosef is saying this. God is the one who looks into your mind, who understands your intent. And God doesn't just look at your external acts, your deeds, without your intent. It also matters what your intent is, what your thinking is. Meaning, it's great that you go through the day and you do lots of good things, but it's not good if you are, have no heart in it and you don't care about God and you're doing it as an atheist. It's better than nothing, perhaps, but it's not so good. It's not what God wants. God wants the intent as well. When I was a kid, I had a favorite book. Besides for like Harry Potter and stuff, I was also really into this parish on Pirkei Avot by Rabbi Abraham Twersky. And there was one interpretation of Pirkei Avot that really stuck with me like my entire life. When anytime I needed to pull out a Dvar Torah, this was always going to be a good one for me. Early on in Pirkei Avot, it says, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid. There are three things upon which the world stands. You know what they are? Beginning towards the beginning of Pirkei Avot, Torah, Avodah, the Gemilot Chasadim. So I actually said it wrong. It's HaTorah, HaAvoda, and then it says Gemilot Chasadim. So Rabbi Twersky asks, why isn't it HaGemilot Chasadim? Right? The Torah, the Avoda, let's say that's prayer, or maybe the Avoda and the Beit HaMikdash, both the same thing. And then it just says Gemilot Chasadim, good deeds, good acts, acts of kindness. Why not the acts of kindness? The answer is there's only one Torah, and there's only one Avoda. There's only one way to worship God. You have to have the right intent when you're learning Torah. If you have the wrong intent, you could be using it to make a mockery of the Torah. If you have the wrong intent when you're praying, then what are you doing? But it doesn't matter what your intent is when it comes to Gemil Chasadim. When it comes to good deeds, I don't care if you're doing it so that you become famous. You're giving, I always see people talking about, you know, those TikTokers, or I haven't watched, I don't look at TikTok, you know, of course not. But you, but you know of these, like, videos of semi-wealthy TikTokers or whatever giving money to homeless people and, like, videoing their reaction. Have you ever seen that before? On YouTube, maybe, or something?
Every famous person does that.
Right. Well, let's say it's not even, like, not even celebrities.
I bought everyone on the grocery store, the groceries for the day.
Yeah, or whatever. And the whole point is to be like, look how good I am, and look at their reactions, like, you know. And I always see comments like, oh, this is so terrible. They're doing it just so they can get views. I don't care why they're doing it. They're doing great, good things. Let them get the views. The reason why they're getting the views is that people want to see this type of thing. And actually, it's like this encourages me about the universe, is that young people are like, wow, people are giving back to others. People are helping the homeless. People are helping the poor. You know, and I don't care what your reason is for that. So that's what Rabbi Twersky says. That's why it says Gemilah Chazanim. No, the Gemilah Chazanim. There's no particular intent. There's no particular type of Gemilah Chazanim. I don't care what kind of Gemilah Chazanim. As long as you're doing it, it's good. So I think that's very important. So Shadal is talking about how, generally maybe, if it's not in conflict with this idea from Rabbi Twersky, he says, deeds are not the only thing that matter. It's also the intent. However, that's on a God perspective. God wants to know your intent, but from a personal from a human perspective, we can't know what other people are thinking when they do something. We can only know what they are actually doing. You know, a guy might be murdering someone else, and they might have a great intent in the world or whatever, but that doesn't matter. They're still going to get the death penalty. Now, it happens to be that we do care about, you know, whether what kind of capital case it is. If it was a passionate, spur-of-the-moment type of thing. So it does matter in terms of their intent, whether it's going to be considered, like, aggravated assault, it's going to be considered, murder, if it's going to be considered manslaughter, those types of things. It happens to be that we do kind of distinguish. But in general, when we're judging people, we look at their actions. We don't look at their intent. We can only see what their actions are. V'chein ani lo uchal, says Shadal in Yosef's name. He says, so what was Yosef saying? Am I instead of God? Meaning, I don't know what your intent was. I can only know what your deeds were. And you know what deeds ended up happening? You know what ended up happening from you selling me down to Egypt? Or according to Shadal, not selling him down, but putting me in that pit and putting me in a situation where I was sold to Egypt. You know what ended up happening? I became second in command in Egypt and I saved a ton of people. So if I'm just judging you based on your actions actually saved people. From my perspective.
I don't know how big a fan I am of this
answer. Okay, fine.
Because, yes, okay, maybe their intent, let's just say their intent didn't matter, but their action was a bad action. If I were to just go around murdering babies in the 40s in Germany, and I happened to,
So you're like turning this into where's the morality stop when it comes to this? Meaning,
murdered a horrible dictator, so good for you. No, I murdered a baby.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. That is a question, though. If you could go back in time and intentionally kill Hitler as a baby, would you do it? You would save 6 million Jews. You'd save millions of other people, probably, unless there would have been a different dictator who would have come. But let's assume that it would have stopped World War II. Nazism would not have risen. Let's assume.
Or maybe the barely.
Yeah, even more efficient. Right. Let's assume that it would have, you know, not gone worse, but it would have done better.
I'm saying that.
Would you do it? I don't know. I would have a problem with it, but I would. I would be happy if someone else did it. Meaning, I wouldn't be. I don't know if I personally would be able to. I think
it was a bad thing that they did.
Meaning, they put him in a pit. They were planning on selling him. Let's say they even did sell him. From my perspective, says Yosef, everything came out good. I'm going to pretend like I don't know your intent, because from a God perspective, He knows your intent. He knows if you did something wrong. And you did do something wrong, obviously, from God's perspective. But I'm going from a human perspective.
Oh, okay.
Now, you're taking us, I think, a little... You know, the person who is the victim has the choice to decide to look at it this way.
Okay, but wait. Right? Does that mean that from Yosef is now assuming that their perspective is they threw him in the pit so that he would be sold to Egypt, and then, obviously, eventually he'll become...
I'll say it a little more nuanced. because we don't know necessarily what people's intent are, we can only look at what is produced from their actions, meaning what is the consequence of their actions. Look at the consequence of their actions here. It was only for good. It ended up being for good.
Since you could only... It wasn't only for good.
It's true. He could blame them for the fact that he was a slave for a long time. That he could blame them for the fact that he was in prison. But he's not. He's saying, but eventually look it down the line. I'm looking at it from a, at least from a consequential point of view, from where this ended up for the good. It was, he's not talking about in terms of halach, he's talking about in terms of his faith, I guess. Now it happens to be like, is Shadal saying that Yosef is like, you know, if they slapped him across the face, he wouldn't judge them because, you know, well, I don't know how this is going to end up. Maybe this is going to be for the good. I don't think that's what it's saying, like turn the other cheek, like, you know, New Testament style. But we, that's what he's saying. He's has you know, a lot of faith. So I hear your complaints about it, but that's what he's saying here. Okay. Right? Lo uchal lishpoto etchem. Al kavana, I can't judge you for the intent, el alamaisa. Rather, I can only judge you for the deed. So, if you thought to do evil to me, well, whatever your intent was, it didn't work out. Right? What God wanted worn out, and ended up being for good, because look where I am now. You don't have to, you know, a wallow before me. You don't have to become lowly before me. You livakesh me many slicha umichila and ask me for forgiveness. Ki eneni ro'e bachem elo shluchei hashgacha letovat amrav. Because I only see you as the agents of God's will, of God's providence, which ended up being to save people. So I see you as the tools by which God made sure things happen on earth. Now, how far are you going to take this? So if you read like the Garden of Emunah, which is Rabbi, I think it's Rabbi Eliezer Brody, the name of Rabbi Arush. It's a very Breslov book, and he has like series after that. After the Garden of Emunah is very popular in a lot of yeshivas and seminaries, where basically the entire book is true Emunah is believing that everything's from God. Truly everything's from God, and any time bad things happen to you, that's from God. And anytime good things happen to you, that's from God, right? So there's some dangers to this. So actually, in the book, and I point to anytime somebody tries to recommend Garden of Emunah, I always point this out. Fairly early on in the book, it literally says, if someone hits you and is beating you up, do not fight back. It says this in the book explicitly. Don't fight back because it's God punching you instead of the person. You should believe that. So now, it happens to be psychologically, for some people, it really does work if you're an anxious person and you could just say, you know what, it's all going to work out. I believe it's going to work out because this is all from God. If that works for you, I don't have any complaints. But if it's really something like that where you don't stand up for yourself and you don't push, it really does sound like it could be a dangerous stuff. But
it's okay to believe that if you also your feet in your hand.
So what you're saying is there should be a mix. There's a certain amount of bitachon a person should have, but also a certain amount of what we call hishtadlut. You know, making the efforts that are necessary to be successful. So I don't know if the Garden of Emunah is necessarily going against that, saying all of your efforts will end up whatever God wants, right? And you should be the tool by which God makes things happen in the world. So like on the Rambam perspective, probably on the other side of this is like it's 99% Hishtadlut and 1% God, maybe. If you're lucky, there's that 1% God. But v'ine zot achat min hatovot hagdolot nimshachon me'emunah ve'elokim u'bishkachato. This is one of the benefits, says Shadal, of believing in God and His providence. Right? This is one of the great benefits that one gets. Ki adam shalit b'masav, because a person does what they need to do in their acts, and they have control over their acts. Aval hashlamata pu'ula ina b'yadav. But you should realize that whatever the consequence of your acts, the result of your acts, is not in your hands. Meaning, you have complete free will, says Shadal. You have complete free will, but not in how your the results of what you do. It just, the result is really in God's hand. Your act is completely in yours. That's how the distinction that Shaddam makes. So therefore, when you have complete faith in the result is going to be whatever God wants, that's going to be, then you put in all the effort whatever God wants ends up happening. Okay, and he says, also look what I wrote in Vayikra Chaf Alf Zayin, so maybe we'll get there one day. Let's say a person wants to do bad things to a good person, and he wants to hurt him. Hashem lo yazvenu v'yado. God will not abandon that person. V'sinat harasha tiyah siba l'hatzalchat ha-tzadik. It will end up actually causing the good for the person, for the good person. Meaning, let's say Haman. Haman hated the Jewish people, and particularly hated Mordechai. Because of Haman, Mordechai ended up becoming much higher. Esther became queen. All of the people who he actually tried to destroy ended up much better off. Through his actions, through every effort that he made, it ended up switching to the other side. Very much like also Bilaam. Bilaam says, anything I'm going to try to do, it's all in God's hand. He goes out there and he does his astrology, tries to curse the Jewish people. It all comes out as blessings. Now that's kind of a miracle, or maybe really God intervening there. It's not really the result, but maybe you can even say, maybe it's possible. I mean, like, I don't know if Shadal, I don't think Shadal says this, but it could be that in the time when Bilaam was cursing the Jewish people, he did say curses. He actually mouthed the words that ended up being, that were curses. But you know what? They didn't end up becoming curses, because everything he said was a bracha for the Jewish people, in whatever way it was. So whenever you read the curses of Bilaam, and it sounds like brachot, it's because God turned all of that into brachot. Not literally out of his mouth, but in results. Maybe, I don't know if that's an extension of what Shadal is saying here. He says, "Umishazot emunato lo yichas al shum adam, v'lo yisna shum adam." And therefore, if someone has, says Shadal, if someone has this emuna in Hashkacha of God, that whatever bad people are trying to do bad things to you, if God wants, and if you're a good person, God will make sure that these bad things don't happen to you or don't happen very often. I know. But hold on a second. He says you can't be angry at anybody and you can't hate anybody because you will believe that whatever God wants will happen. And it's not about, I don't care about this guy's intent. I don't care about this guy hates me, because whatever God wants will happen. So, yeah. So Joe is like, well, what about all the times that bad people are successful? Like, you know, Russia, Vitovlo. Good question. I don't know exactly how he would answer that. But what I would say is it's important to realize that Shadal, we mentioned this a couple of days ago, Shadal is really into providence as one of the beliefs. There's two main beliefs of the Torah that Shadal thinks the Torah is written for, and why Breishit was written, for example, instead of just giving us halacha. So in the first parasha, he says the entire story of creation actually isn't meant to be a historical or scientific or even philosophical knowledge. Right? The Rambam read it as like philosophical stuff, and let's say the Ramban understands it as more mystical stuff. Shadal says, what are you talking about? It's just to tell you two main facts. God exists, and he does providence over the world. He actually cares about what's happening here, and he controls things. He has providence. It's true, but it simply comes out of the text, meaning you don't have to make any great drashas. You don't have to say any of those things to like make it metaphorical or whatever. These are coming straight out of the text. And in fact, in his letter to Almeida, I think, that was published in Chakira, was translated by Dan Klein, who translated this book over here. So in that essay, in that letter, talking about what are the main beliefs of Judaism, basically, it's like a really important letter. So basically, he says that one of the main reasons of the Torah, you know, writ large, is for the belief in providence and that God cares about us. And so he says this is one of the benefits that we see demonstrated in Yosef, that he doesn't hate his brothers, and he says that God is the judge, but ultimately I'm okay with what happened because I believe everything that happened was for the good. And that's something that will keep people away from anger and hatred of others. Very interesting from Shadal, a little bit different than what we've seen in other Shadals before. Shkoyach.